Good morning again. Thanks so much for joining us for the Word for Life Radio Ministry. We have been talking to Pastor Tom Ebert, pastor of Shalom Baptist Church here in Mequon, this last time about some fantastic life-transforming changes, Pastor Tom, that took place in your life. And Pastor Ken, we heard an awesome testimony of God answering the prayers of a saved mother,
yeah,
bringing her 22-year-old drug addict son to Christ. And
you know, people need to hear that. How can, Pastor Greg, how can they go back and pick up that broadcast?
They can go on our church website and just look at the Word for Life. They can go to sermonaudio.com and just type in the name Tom Ebert, and that will pick up that first broadcast.
Our website is brooksidebc.org, brooksidebc.org. But I tell you, people need to listen, because you could have a mom or dad out there saying, man, there's no hope for my son or daughter. They are just a wreck. They're in drugs. They're in sexual, you know, promiscuity. I mean, there's no hope for them. And that right there is one powerful testimony of God saying, I can take them out of the miry clay and set
right.
their feet on the rock.
So, Pastor Tom, you're 22 years old. You're now a brand new believer, and you decided, I'm going cold turkey. Mm-hmm. And so for 10 days, boom, no drugs at all, and didn't sleep for 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
But so pick it up there.
Yeah. And so, you know, the 10 days got over. I went to sleep, and it was like, oh, wow, I can sleep again. So I prayed that night, and I thought, you know, I got to go to work. I didn't have a job. So I just prayed that night. I just said, Lord, I gotta find a job somewhere.
Okay.
I woke up in the morning, and the phone rang. It was my friend. He said, hey, I got a job in New York City, but I don't have a ride. If you give me a ride, my boss said he'd hire you.
Okay.
So Lord's already at work, isn't he?
Yeah. And I thought, whoa, what a fast answer to prayer. I didn't even have to look in the newspaper.
Just drive your car.
We didn't have internet back then. You had to actually get a newspaper and look for things.
And that was about how far away from where you were living in Jersey?
About 45 minutes, an hour maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, so
okay.
It wasn't too bad. And everybody commuted, you know,
gotcha.
In New York.
Yeah.
So the job was at Madison Square Garden.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
And we were on the sixth floor of Madison Square Garden doing remodeling with a carpenter.
Okay.
And so I didn't know anything about carpentry. I was making a mess, you know, but they just told me do this, do that.
Right.
And so here I just got saved. I'm still drinking, by the way, and I'm still smoking pot and drinking, but I got off all the hard drugs.
Right.
And it didn't even faze. I didn't think there was anything wrong with drinking so much. This is normal. You know? So I'm going to work and I'm doing it. And then so lunchtime, and my church had tracks. I took tracks and I shoved them in my bag, you
okay.
know, for lunch.
Yeah.
And then, and so I'd sit outside Madison Square Garden and I'd eat my lunch and I just stand up and I start handing tracks up. People walking by me. So I just hand them tracks, you know, and try to witness to people. And, so, you know, that was kind of my first few weeks of being a Christian.
Right.
And then it took a few weeks and then I realized, you know, smoking pot's wrong. That's sin. You know, I'm going to church. I'm hearing things. I'm not going to do that anymore. So I quit.
Okay.
And then the last thing, I quit drinking and, I was driving a girl home from work. And I'm drinking, witnessing to her. And she's like, and she's looking at me and she's going, man, you're pretty wild for a Christian. I never met Christians like that before. And I'm thinking, oh, this is terrible. So I thought, that's it, no more drinking, you know? So I just made the sound, I'm not going to do that anymore. So then I went to, you know, I went back to my pastor that Sunday, you know, and he had been discipling me. And I made the decision to get baptized. I'm going to get baptized. So actually, my mom got baptized the week before I got baptized.
Okay.
She got baptized, and I thought, well, my mom did. I should probably do that, too.
Yeah.
So I ended up getting baptized, joining the church. And I was a mess. And then they went out on visitation. They call it visitation. I thought that's like what happens when people die or something, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It was a visitation. So I went up to say, what's visitation? Oh, we go out and tell people about Jesus. I said, really? I said, well, I'm going to go. And here I am. I still look like an absolute drug addict. You know? My hair, I have real long hair. I'm strung out from heroin, you know.
And they're probably saying, no, we don't think that'd be a good idea.
You know what? They just said, you come on out.
Yeah, yeah.
And they said, and so I show up, and I the pastor and the associate pastor are looking at each other. How are we going to do this?
Who's taking him?
So they just said, well, Tom, you go out, and here's what we'll do. We'll knock on the door. We'll introduce ourselves. And if we get into a conversation, I'm going to turn to you, and I'm going to say, Tom just got saved. You tell him how you got saved.
Yeah.
and share your testimony. He said, then I'll do the rest.
Right, right.
That's what we would do.
Yeah,
I start sharing my testimony with people. It was about a month after I got saved.
Right, right.
So that's kind of how I began. And then a few months after that, the pastor said to me, he said, why don't you come out and help us with the youth? So I was coming out and I was doing that on Friday nights. And then one week he said to me, he said, Tom, why don't you want to preach to the youth? And I thought, I didn't know what I was going to say, you know, but I said, sure, I was going to do anything. Pastor asked me to do, I'll do anything.
Right,
you know?
Right, right.
That's a great spirit right there.
That's the truth.
So he said, you know, I thought, well, he wants me to preach, I'll preach. So
zeal, not a whole lot of knowledge, but a bunch of zeal. Amen to that.
But what helped, it was a doctrinally sound church.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And I was being taught good doctrine.
Uh-huh.
And so I remember writing up something on a little sheet of paper, and I ended up preaching to the youth that night. And mm-hmm. After I preached, I thought, I like this.
Right, right, right.
I like preaching, you know. And so, and that was really the first seed that, you know. And the pastor came to me after. He said, you know, Tom, what are you doing with your life? I said, nothing much. He goes, you should consider that maybe God's calling you into the ministry to preach.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the beginning of it. I started praying about that. And a year later, I went off to Bible college, Pillsbury Baptist Bible College,
right.
And met my wife there. But I really need to be trained if I'm going to do this. And so that's how it all got. So within a year, I was at Bible college.
Yeah. You know, what I'm hearing you say, Pastor Tom, is it just takes some encouragement, personal discipleship, one-on-one. Hey, pray about this. Have you considered this? What do you think about this? In other words, it's opening up new venues for new believers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think one thing, too, that I just thought as you were talking about your pastor and the folks in the church that was encouraging is they were letting the Spirit of God really work and mold you, and they believed in you that, hey, this is what God's doing, but they didn't come and go, hey, you need to cut your hair right now.
Right.
And you need to do, you know, and you need to dress up. They didn't come with a lot of that. They said, hey, why don't you come out? I mean, because really, you know, I could see pastors going, hey, who wants to take this guy with me?
Oh, yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
I mean, what's he going to do? And I just, as I listened to that, I thought, wow, there were some people who believed in you. Mm-hmm. They saw God doing a great work, and they let the Spirit of God continue to do the work in your life. And they were there to encourage you and help you along the path and teach you the truth.
That was my recovery program. You know
yeah,
what I'm saying?
Right.
Because you know, people say, well, you have to go to AA. And you have to, I didn't go to any of that. You know what? I just went to church.
Went to church.
And on Sundays and Wednesdays.
Yeah, Sundays and Wednesdays. That was my group therapy.
Yeah,
you know?
Right,
and
right.
The church just embraced me and loved me. You know, like, come on over to the house and eat and come on over for a meal.
Right.
And
right.
That was it. That's what I needed.
Right.
You know, the old crowd was gone. And I needed a new crowd. That was my that was my new family.
The things I used to do, don't do them anymore. Place I used to go, don't go there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a great change since I've been born again.
Amen.
Is the name of the song.
Mm-hmm.
And that's 2 Corinthians 5:17, isn't it?
Amen.
Old things pass away, all things become new. And so, yeah, there's some choices that new believers are led by God to make. Kind of like, you know, you trying to witness this girl and you got this beer in your hand, you know, and just her comment like, wow, you're kind of a wild Christian, aren't you? The Holy Spirit went, ooh,
exactly right away.
You know, arrow to the heart,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's the way God works.
Yeah. We saw a fellow saved in Colorado who was a bouncer at a bar, and he came to Christ, but he came in one day, you know, I was discipling him, and he said, man, why don't I want to drink anymore? I said, well, let me tell you this story. What if you're back in church, you know, in the auditorium there, and I come walking in, and I got a six-pack with me. All of a sudden, preacher says, turn in your Bibles, and all of a sudden you hear, shh, and you look over there, and I'm drinking. What are you going to do? He goes, well, man, I know better than that. I know you don't do that in church. He goes, I'd go to the ushers, and I'd ask them if I could just throw you out. And I said, but you're doing that. You're mad because I'm doing it in church. And the Lord is there at church. But the temple, the church that God is indwelling is your body. And I said, that's why you don't want to do it anymore. When they understand, man, God is living within me. Why am I allowing myself to do this?
Right.
And there you allow the Spirit of God to keep working.
Mm-hmm.
And powerful, Tom. And I didn't even know all this story. You know, I didn't even know really all your testimony. It's been very moving to listen to and to see the.
So you went to Pillsbury Baptist Bible College, met a young lady there that kind of attracted your attention.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And y'all have been married how long?
30 years.
30 years.
Yeah, 30 years.
Now, did you know when you went to college that God was calling you to preach, kind of like your pastor was suggesting?
I think, yeah, I wasn't 100% sure, but I was probably 95% sure that that's what God wanted me to do.
Because when you did it, there was a sense of fulfillment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can see God working in me, first of all, and then through me.
Mm-hmm. Did you major in Bible, pastoral studies? I mean,
Bible and history is what I took. In the pastoral department at the time at Pillsbury, they didn't have a head to the department. So I really didn't know if I wanted to be a missionary or a pastor or what I wanted to do. So I just took missions and pastorology classes for electives.
Okay.
And just kind of filled up my credits on that.
Right.
So, but I took a double major, Bible and history.
So you could be open to whatever God may want you to be and do.
Yeah, and I even took a few educational classes. Laura and I started dating, and she was elementary ed, so I hopped in to take a few classes with her because I thought Christian school movement was big back then.
Yes, yes.
And I thought, you know, I may end up in a pastorate, maybe there'll be a Christian school. So I took like three or four different, one administrative class and a couple other educational classes just to be familiar with some of that.
Now, at the time you started to date Laura, she knew what God was doing in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Was she open to anything God may lead you to be or do?
Oh, yeah. And we were pretty much looking toward either missions or the pastorate. And she always, you know, she got saved at 15.
Okay.
And she was raised in more of a Christian background. She knew in her heart, I'm going to be a pastor's wife.
Okay.
She knew that. She felt called to be a pastor's wife.
Right.
Okay, so you guys get married. You've had how many children?
Eight
children. But you get married, and you just jump into ministry then? What happened then?
Well, you know, I wanted to go on to seminary, so I started doing some seminary training and went 1 year, and then we moved to another area. It just financially never really worked out, so and the Lord showed me, you know, it took 40 years for God to get Moses ready.
Yeah.
You know, to go back. And because it was like everything I tried didn't work. You know, I couldn't go to school. And I looked at all my friends going to seminary. But frankly, seminary never worked for me. The traditional seminary, I should say, never really worked for me. You know, running to school and trying to do family.
Were you working a full-time job as well?
I was working a full-time job. And I ended up doing a lot of correspondence work, you know, Liberty and a couple other schools.
Right.
I actually got some good training
and
ended up just going into ministry. I can remember that I was really mad. And the Lord said, Tom, you are in school. This is my school. And he said, you need to learn to love your wife, work, pay your bills, and just be a responsible adult before I get you on to any other training. But once I learned that, then all of a sudden the doors opened up, and I was in ministry just a few years after that.
So your degree is approved unto God.
Yeah.
A workman that needed not to be ashamed. Well, we run out of time, but folks, you have heard the importance of individuals challenging, discipling young believers, encouraging them not on what they have been in the past, but what they can be in the future. When you see people that are not necessarily a statue of marble, but just a good block of marble that God can do something through, disciple them. God bless you.